Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this last Sunday before the Lenten season begins, this coming Wednesday, God offers us one more opportunity to learn to see Jesus correctly, properly. One more opportunity to attack the pride that often gets in the way of seeing Him, of understanding Him, of appreciating who He is, what He said, who God is, and what His will is for us in our lives. The gospel for today takes place right as Jesus is finishing His journey to Jerusalem for Holy Week. But we'll take a step back over the next 6 or 7 weeks to see Jesus working with His disciples along the way, teaching them. And then we'll come back to Holy Week before Easter. The gospel today, as I said, attacks our pride as it attacked the disciples' pride, the 12 apostles whom Jesus took aside to counsel, to teach, if they thought that they were something. They surely couldn't have thought so after Jesus explained to them exactly what suffering He was going to undergo, and they still threw up their arms in confusion. We have no idea what He's talking about. The solution for them, the solution for the multitudes who were in procession with Him to Jerusalem, the solution for us is to listen and to love. Listening and loving will also end up eventually seeing, as the disciples did and as that blind beggar did in our gospel. It was at least the second time that Luke's gospel records Jesus taking the 12 apostles aside and explaining to them what had to happen to Him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished." Listen, Jesus urges His 12 apostles. Listen to the Old Testament prophets and remember and consider the things that they wrote, especially about the Son of Man, whom you have already confessed to be Me, Jesus. The prophets wrote many things about the Christ, as we're seeing in Bible class. We're still going through that Bible study just now, midway through Isaiah's prophecy, still not yet at the end of the Old Testament after many months of this study. Jesus' apostles knew many or most or maybe all of those prophecies of the Old Testament. But now they were told by Jesus to listen still. Listen to what they meant. Listen to what they were pointing to. Now everyone in Israel seemed to know that the Christ was coming, that He was the Son of David, and that as the Son of David, He would be a great king like David was, except even a greater king than David had been, who would rule in righteousness over His people and save them from their enemies. They all expected that from the Christ. And most people, maybe all in Israel, seemed to know that He would also be a great prophet who would come from God and reveal God to them and explain God's will to them. None of those things were surprising in Jesus. What few seemed to recognize, even Jesus' own disciples, was that the Christ would also be a priest. A priest who would offer one great sacrifice to God. A sacrifice that would change everything. A sacrifice that would make atonement for all the sins of men. He would offer up Himself to God, just as God had intended it all along. Listen, Jesus says. The Son of Man will be delivered to the Gentiles. Now, David was one of the prophets who prophesied that very thing, as he wrote in the second Psalm. Why do the nations, that is the Gentiles, rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, His Christ. And just as Israel was handed over for a time to the Gentiles in the Babylonian captivity, as we're talking about in Bible class now, so the Christ, who was often referred to simply as Israel, would be handed over to them as well. Listen, Jesus tells them, the Son of Man will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. Well, again, David prophesied these things about his greater son in Psalm 22. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And Isaiah said of the Christ in chapter 50, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Listen, Jesus tells them. They will scourge him and kill him, as Isaiah prophesied there in chapter 50 and again in 53. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Stripes, of course, are the result of scourging with a jagged whip. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was cut off from the land of the living. Now we'll hear those words again from Isaiah chapter 53 on Good Friday. But Jesus calls on his disciples to listen now, ahead of Good Friday, so that when Good Friday comes, they'll be able to see the reason for it. It was all because of love. God's love for fallen, sinful mankind. And finally, Jesus called on the apostles to listen to that other thing that the prophets had prophesied, that the third day he will rise again, as David again prophesied in Psalm 16. My flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. And the disciples knew all these prophecies. They knew the Old Testament pretty well, yet we're still told they understood none of these things. Now we can understand a lack of understanding among the Jewish people in general. We don't always understand prophecies before they happen. But Jesus was right here connecting the dots for the apostles between the Old Testament prophecies and himself and what was right about to happen to him. And still, it says, this saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Perhaps hidden from them, again, so that pride could not get in the way. Well, we understood Jesus and followed him all along. No, they couldn't say that, could they? They were as in the dark as the rest of Israel in some ways. They weren't supposed to understand just yet. For now, they were supposed to listen and to follow. And it's a good example for us when we don't understand everything about God and about His plan for us and His will for us. Keep listening. Listening not for some revelation in nature or in your ear or in your heart, but to the Word of God, to the Old Testament prophets, and to the words of Jesus and His apostles. Keep listening and follow on. All will be made clear eventually. For now, trust Jesus in the things that he has made clear to you, above all, his great love, in going willingly into the hands of wicked men to be put to shame and to death for our salvation. The disciples had their physical sight, but their spiritual insight was at the moment somewhat blurry. The opposite was true for the blind beggar that we encounter on the way to Jericho. He had no physical sight, but his spiritual insight was rather keen. In fact, far better than the crowds that were in this procession with Jesus. He's listening, as most blind people tend to do very well. He hears the commotion of the large crowd that's passing by and asks what it is. So they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Well, he didn't cry out the name Jesus of Nazareth. Instead, he shows that he's been listening to other things that he's been hearing. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's been listening to the good word about Jesus that's been going around Israel by this time, of his miracles, but also of his great kindness. And by that simple word that had filtered down to this street beggar, the Holy Spirit had enlightened the eyes of his heart to know Jesus as the Son of David, as the Christ. He may not have understood much about Jesus as the Son of David, but this he understood, and understood better than the crowds, that the Son of David is known for his mercy. He may be a king, he may be a prophet, he may even be a priest. The blind beggar may not have known all of those things, but his mercy, for that Jesus was famous, and on that he relied. His mercy toward sinners, his mercy toward the pitiful and miserable, his mercy toward those who had nothing to offer him except their own sin and misery. So trusting in the Savior's mercy, he cried out for it. It's at that point that we see the shocking reaction of the crowds who were following Jesus. They went before and warned him that he should be quiet. Now, why would they warn someone to be quiet who's crying out to Jesus for mercy? They did it because mercy wasn't the quality of Jesus that they were focused on. They were focused on those much more glorious things, his kingship, maybe his prophetic coming, but not his mercy. The beggar was focused on Jesus' mercy, and he shows that he was the one in the right and the crowds in the wrong. Now, the same thing would later happen among the Christians in the city of Corinth. They became very proud of their knowledge, how much they knew about God and understood about his word. They were very proud of all the spiritual gifts that they were gifted with. But St. Paul reminds them that all of that is completely meaningless without love. And not love in the modern American twisted sense. The term has been twisted almost beyond recognition in our society. Very often, love in America means simply supporting people in their sinful choices. Whereas love in their mind also means crushing those who dare to speak a word against those sinful choices. That's what they actually think of as love. You can see the devil's own influence on our language. And you can surely see the devil's influence on your heart as well. If you compare your attitudes and actions with St. Paul's description of love in today's epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as you listen to those beautiful words, that beautiful description of what love is in God's sight, I hope you were also thinking, that's not me. That's not me. That's not how I think. That's not how I treated my neighbor this week, at least not every time. But it's that love that Jesus did show at all times, especially in his willing march to the cross, and even in his kind and merciful and loving treatment of that blind beggar that day who offered him nothing, who asked for everything. To him, Jesus gave the gift not only of sight, but the praise of a faith that has saved you. The crowds weren't able to deter that beggar. He kept crying, and Jesus heard him, asked him to be brought to him, and then asked him that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" To dispel any idea that the people might have had, well, he just wants money. He didn't want money. He wanted his sight, something that no one else in the world could give him but the Son of David in his mercy, and he received it. Now, after listening to the word about Jesus, after trusting in Jesus, after receiving the gift of Jesus' love, the beggar finally received his sight, and then he praised God. And the multitude of people who a moment earlier were upset with the beggar for all of his cries to Jesus for mercy, who had wandered away from love for a time, witnessed the mercy and love of Jesus toward that beggar, and they were brought back to love themselves and glorified and praised God together with the beggar. Love had been restored, and with it, sight. The true sight of Jesus, not as a glorious earthly king, but as a merciful and loving Savior who forgives sin to all who trust in him and who is ready and willing to help all who seek his mercy. And seeing Jesus in that light, we're moved not only to a greater faith, but also to greater love. Pray for such spiritual sight for the Lenten season that is upon us and beyond. It begins with listening and with love. And it continues with more listening and more love. I sincerely urge all of you to set aside some of the many distractions of your daily life to attend all the extra services we'll be observing over the next 6 or 7 weeks. Here, God will speak so that you may listen. Here, God will reveal his love in Christ so that you may receive it and so that you may learn more and more to reflect it. May God bless his word among us and cause his face to shine upon us. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.